CMO Roundtable,
the podcast where we talk to CMOs and marketing professionals to find out what's working, what isn't, and how you can leverage their expertise to improve your marketing and conversions. Now, let's welcome our host, number one best-selling author and co-founder of Conversion Fanatics, Justin Christensen.
All right, welcome everybody. This is your host, Justin Christensen, for the CMO Roundtable. And today, like no exception, we've got a fantastic guest. Our guest today went from delivering pizzas for $8 an hour to creating a full-time income online in 1996. So he's been doing it even longer than I have, and I've been doing it quite a while. So he's been called one of the grandfathers of internet marketing and is one of the first online marketers to demonstrate the power of email, generating just over $96,000 from one email to his list in front of a live audience. Now, that's just absolutely crazy. But in the past 20 years, he's personally helped thousands of clients set up profitable internet lifestyles in hundreds of different markets through both his private and group coaching programs. So without further ado, Terry Dean, how are you doing, my friend?
I am doing great, Justin. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, the pleasure is always mine and all mine. So in just 30 seconds or so, how did you go from pizza to helping so many?
In 30 seconds? That's a
cliff notes. Okay. That's a cliff notes version of it.
Basically, back in 96, I first heard rumors of people going online, bought my first PC, got online, and started selling. I licensed some VHS self-help videos, which I started selling online, and I learned the power of email real quick, getting people onto an email list, because that's where all my profits came from, and I think my time's up for 30 seconds.
No, you're good. We're casual here. We're all good.
Okay. So, with the email list, that was the beginning of the profits. I started realizing that relationship I could build with an email list and with an audience. Started selling those products. People started inviting me to speak because, again, we're talking early in the years, and everybody's like, Terry, how are you doing this? Mm-hmm. How are you making sales on the internet? So I started speaking at conferences, and that's where you brought up some of the early conferences. One of the groups that I spoke for, they actually gave me a challenge, and we told everybody at the challenge they would see me at the event. They would see me produce at least 10,000 in sales from one email to the list. We did that multiple times, and then the biggest one, the best one, was the 96,000 from one email. And you know, that's not every email, so don't take that idea that I do that all the time.
Yeah,
but that was the biggest one in front of an audience. And from there on, I had one of the first membership sites teaching online marketers. That's the reason you got that little term from being the grandfather of internet marketing. I started that like in 1999, 2000, as a membership site training online marketers. And then I basically burned myself out a little and like sold that first business 2004, took a little time off. In 2006, I started came back and started coaching entrepreneurs. And so since then, I've had a lot of experience in a lot of different markets with helping different clients in different markets, and I really love that because that means every day I see stats from all these different markets and all these different clients from you know, basically almost any kind of niche you can imagine. I've probably helped some client in at this point.
Yeah, sounds pretty familiar to what we do a little bit. But so in terms of companies marketing, is there something that keeps you up at night that just grinds on you?
That keeps me up at night? On companies marketing, I'll have to go this. This isn't my own marketing. This is other marketing, you know, because you're asking me.
It could be yours. It could be on yours too as well. I mean, it's just something I always like to ask this question because, you know, us as entrepreneurs, we have our challenges, and I want people to understand that we're all human. In a sense, and it isn't all roses and butterflies that come across on social media.
Well, probably the biggest thing that's always been my biggest worry is the big companies not understanding the importance of email for us. And you always have these little things that they do, and it seems like we run into each of these challenges from time after time. An example is Gmail when they first put up their promotions box. Mm-hmm. That was annoying, figuring out how to make sure we didn't end up in the promotions box. Okay, that is a regular aspect if you're dealing with any type of email, is some email service provider, one of the big ones, Gmail, of course, being king of this, decides to do something different with the email, something different that they're looking for spam, and they start tossing a bunch of our emails into spam, and people don't get them. So that's probably my biggest worry, is that someone's going to block my marketing somewhere.
Ah, that's a big one.
Because it's happened several times. We had to figure a way out of it. Where, you know, one day you're getting tons of sales from an email you send out. The next day, you get very few because half of your list didn't get the email.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. So you talk about a basic five-step system for reviewing and improving something that I'm very passionate about is conversions for virtually any website. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, see, it's a simple system, and I first developed this from doing all the conferences and them putting people in the hot seat, and we have a short period of time to help them fix the site.
Yeah.
And I basically figured out that, you know, there's tons of things in conversion. You know that there's hundreds of pieces we can look for, but most of them come back to the five main steps. And I call it the golden glove, and you can look at it as the five fingers on the golden glove, and that is desperate problem, unique promise, overwhelming proof, an irresistible offer, and a reason to act now. Those are the five points I look for. Mm-hmm. And most of the other adjustments and improvements we can make for a site are going to fall into one of those five categories. The desperate problem means, are we calling out to an audience, and are we actually talking about a problem they have and something that they need solved or a desire that they're desperate to fulfill? That's the first piece. The second piece is the unique promise, is how is our offer and promise, the benefit that we're providing, how is it different from everybody else? Because as you know, if you're in a competitive marketplace, which pretty much everything is competitive nowadays online, you have to not only have a benefit for the customer, but the customer needs to decide, you know, not only are you a good option, but you're the best option for them. So how is your promise unique and different from the competition? And then overwhelming proof means we constantly look for any ways we can add additional proof. And I'm sure, since this is your specialty in conversion, you probably have dozens of ways that you add additional proof, all the ones that we know, the testimonials, the case studies. One of my favorite forms of proof are demonstration videos that we add in, you know, all the different, you know, logos that we could put on the site, all types of things that we can do to add proof to the site. And that's the next aspect. We have the irresistible offer. So how does the offer stand out? Is it easy to understand that the offer? And then finally is the reason to act now. And that is, why should I take action now? Why shouldn't I just wait? And do you make it very easy for me to order, making the steps clear? And it's a nice, smooth flowing system. So when I look at a website, I'll look through those five pieces. And I've yet to see a website that, if you say that the site has poor conversion, we're quickly going to spot that it's missing several of these pieces.
Yep. Agreed. And most people overlook it because they're so close to their marketing efforts that they just fail to look at the simplest things.
Yes, they do.
So you're the email guy. So it's, how do you, you know, earn more money from even the smallest email list?
Well, the big thing, a lot of people think about the size of the list. A lot of my clients, now I have clients that, you know, most of my clients are, you define as very small to probably, you know, again, they're small businesses, because most of my clients range in probably the $100,000 up to about the $10 million level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the ones that I work with directly. And in these places, the list that we do, that we get the most profits from, are very targeted lists. So we're not trying to get a general audience. We're going in, we're targeting a list. Many times we're segmenting the list to very specific subjects. So we're trying to attract the ideal client. One of the things that I always do with clients is we create their ideal client avatar. Who is it that we're speaking to, this one individual that we're writing all of our messages to, we're designing the website for, and we're going after this individual, we're writing to them. We get them onto a list, and so to get them on the list, a lot of people talk about, you know, freebies or lead magnets, things like that, to get someone on the list. I use those terms too, but I also use another term. I always say that we're giving, instead of just calling it a lead magnet or some other free gift we're giving, it's a free preview that we're giving away in some way. And the reason I like using that is it changes your thinking just a little bit. And I want people, I give away a gift to get people to join my list. And that free preview is going to lead you into an offer that we're making. So let's say I have a client over in the golf field. So he's selling golf training products online, golf clinics, things like this as well. And his free, you know, preview is going to be a video to help you with your drive.
Yep.
Okay. So, and that's going to lead into his first offer that he has is going to be a training product that gives you even more tips, even more steps for improving your drive. Okay, that the free preview leads to the next step. Many e-commerce companies, often the best thing they can give away is either, number one, a buyer's guide for the subject, or number two, a coupon, discount, that you get when you subscribe, because either one of those is leading somebody directly to making a purchase. So the first thing that you do with email to produce high incomes from smaller lists is make sure that you're specifically attracting buyers. You're leading them, not just giving away good content, but we're giving them content that takes them towards making a buying decision. Now, the next aspect is what we're sending by email. And probably the biggest mistake that I see with email, and there's two ditches with email. The two ditches are, you first, we have the people out there who just send sales pitches.
Yeah.
Okay, and every email they send is just another offer, another, you know, big deadline, and they quickly burn out the list.
Yeah.
And they quit buying from them. The other side, the other big mistake that people make is they send out great content that I often call constipated content.
Yeah.
Okay, it's constipated content because it's devoid of personality. It's here's the steps to success, here's, you know, here's value, but there's not a connection with the person or the brand or the business that's behind it. And you can say this, as individuals, we have personalities. Businesses can have personalities behind them. And your email should show that personality. And so what I really do when I teach someone to write email is we focus really heavily on stories. Okay, that could be origin stories. It could be a story of a mentor that they had. It could be a story from their childhood. It could just be a personal story from their daily life. But we focus really heavily on stories. And if I gave you a really simple formula for email, it is story, content, and then transition to an offer. That's so, like my basic model.
So the give, give, take model.
Yes.
Very similar. Well, so
it's almost, I would probably define it, it's relationship, give, and then take at that point. So it's because there's not just give. The story is inspirational, and it's a personal connection. It's what you're trying to do there.
It's very similar to kind of like the pain, fear, logic type mm-hmm. step.
Yes, it is.
Awesome. So you mentioned stories. So how do you leverage stories to bypass the quote-unquote sales filter?
The stories work well for bypassing the sales filter because it's not just me making a promise to you, okay? So instead, this works really well. I'll even use an example for Facebook advertising, okay? When you're running Facebook ads, as an example here, Facebook has a problem, just like Google and some of the other big networks do, of you making big promises
mm-hmm.
in ads. Okay, it's very easy to get your account canceled from Facebook if you make big promises in your advertising. But something I found is that Facebook is quite happy with you sharing inspiring stories. Okay, so you're sharing stories of what's worked for you or for others.
Yeah,
that's something they're much more pleased with. You can almost say feel-good stories. Something that they like that people share. And if you start thinking about your marketing from that aspect, instead of making promises to people, what stories can you tell of what's already worked for your clients, that's worked for you, that's worked for clients? And those are some of the best stories you can have. Here's a good example. I have quite a few clients actually who we sell their products, so they sell products in their business, and then also we'll at least joint venture with a couple of other partners and we'll promote other products and services in addition to promoting their own products
yeah.
and the brand for additional profits. And the best promotions we ever do as an affiliate for someone else are case study ones where we actually use their product or we actually put it into practice and we can give a taste study, or as I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite forms of proof is an actual demonstration video. Let's put it into practice what they're doing. Let's tell the story of exactly what happened with what of the offer, what we tried it out, you know, a straight review of what the product is that we tested and proved. And so think about your stories in those types of terms instead of just thinking I'm going to make big promises to the promise of what they can get. What has actually happened? What kind of results have you generated? And, you know, tell them a feel-good story.
Awesome. That's powerful stuff. Yeah, I mean, stories sell. Bottom line.
They do, and you get it. You get hooked in the story, and you see it happen. Just think of that angle also. If I come in and tell you that I can, you know, whatever, you know, I can show you how to lose 50 pounds, you're immediately going to say, no, you can't, or whatever. You know, someone will say, you know, that attitude for it. But if I then tell you about somebody else, and I tell you the struggles that she went through, you know, she had this problem. She, you know, had a family. She was busy. She tried this. It didn't work. By now, you're already hooked in the story. By the end, you come in. And, you know, it's like, maybe this will work for me too. That's the whole thing. That's the whole point of the stories, and it just becomes consistent telling of these types of marketing stories of results, what others have felt, what others have seen, that produces good sales, and it basically gets past that sales resistance of customers.
Awesome. Yeah, that's some good tips there. So my next question is, there's been a lot of talk about TV kind of going away and traditional media and going all online. What are your thoughts on that topic?
Well, it's moving more and more online. That's obvious. So you're not going to hear me say that it's not moving more towards online. But I actually think it's a mistake to think that it's all moving online, because I have clients that we produce. I'm thinking of one client right now. I mean, we run AdWords, we run Facebook advertising for him, but some of his best sales come from radio right now. Okay, so it's a mixture of all these models hooked in together. Other clients, and this is another example, I have a client where we ran some joint venture promotions. We ran multiple emails out to the list. Then we sent out a direct mail piece to their customer list. That direct mail piece produced like four times as many sales as all the emails put together. Okay, mailed out to the customer list. So if you don't take your customers off the internet also, you're missing out on some really big additional profit opportunities if you don't do it. So I really have to bring that back. We're moving more and more online, but to discount and ignore offline media at the same time, that's kind of difficult. Again, another client that sells products, see, this is an older audience, so this will eventually die off here, but he's selling like supplements to an older audience, and some of his best sales come in newspapers still.
Yeah, actually, I was just talking to a guy not too long ago, and his all of his sales, like majority of their sales, come from newspaper and print.
Yeah, and so it's going to be a long process before those die off. A lot of times people think that the process, you know, just disappears. We have podcasts, we have all these opportunities. Just think of them as additional opportunities we have, because TV is still there, radio is still there, radio is still producing. Newspapers are dying off slowly, but it's much slower than people give it credit for at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we had a client that had a newspaper, and it was the same thing. It's like we saw the increase in their subscriptions for the first time in like 6 years. You know, so I mean, it's still there, and they have
it's still there. So offline media, the best thing you can do is connect all these different pieces together in your plan. Everything connects together.
Yeah, everything does, and you just kind of got to go where the customers take you. Where they're living, I guess. But in terms of marketing wins, do you have any that jump out at you that's happened in, say, the last year? Like something that's just like, oh my God, we got a slam dunk. This is home run.
We have a few of those. YouTube has actually given us the most of those that I've seen. A lot of the YouTube advertising we've done, we get such high conversions. I mean, there's a lot of campaigns that we were running on Facebook, and then we transitioned it and took the same campaign or very similar campaign over to YouTube, and we generated a lot better conversions off the YouTube traffic than we did off the Facebook traffic. And we're talking paid traffic, so I'm not just talking about, you know, free videos. We do those too, but I'm talking running a lot of ours have been, you know, the in-stream videos have been producing some best for us. We do some in the in-display also, but some of our biggest, most successful campaigns are over on YouTube, and this kind of goes back to the message of be everywhere. And the other big thing for us is doing a lot of retargeting, and the retargeting almost like follow-up systems. And I best describe this by email, being an email specialist, is I get people on an email list, and I have a very specific sequence I take them through in emails. When they first subscribe, they're going to find out my origin story in one of the emails, you know, how I get started in business. There's going to be, you know, emails about what I can do for you. There's going to be like a case study of one of my clients. It's very organized, very planned in my email sequence. We're doing some of the same things in retargeting, especially using YouTube and Facebook with video when we're doing it. And we're taking you through a story. So we'll actually, you know, the first time you see it, one of our videos, you watch one of our videos, we're going to have another specific video that you're going to see on your Facebook feed for the next 3 days. Okay, then there's going to be another one that's following up there after that. So that's some of our biggest successes are with retargeting, especially with videos.
So basically a retargeting funnel.
Yes.
Very interesting. So do you have any big lessons that you've learned in the last year? Like I'm never going to do that again, or anything that, like, big takeaways?
that I'm never going to do again, or the big takeaways was the follow-up sequence for doing the videos through advertising. That's been such a big result for us. For negatives of things that I will never do again, I don't think I've had one at this point. Maybe I'm a little stubborn and I run my head into things a few times. You might say that. A lot of my experience online, especially since I started in 96, came from, let's see if this works. Let's try this. Does this work? Oh, that didn't work. Let's try something else.
Yeah.
And I find there's a lot of times I'm able to make things work by going with that approach. I guess you could say, I'll even tell you, man, this is embarrassing to say. At times, I feel like I'm a slow learner for the things.
Mm-hmm. So I can relate to that 100%. I go for it. My business partner laughs at me all the time because I go for and just break stuff all the time, and then he has to come back and fix it. So,
well, this ad doesn't work. I want to try something else.
Yep.
So I'm gonna, I'll keep trying something else, a totally different approach. I do that a lot with the advertising. I love the marketing. I think the biggest mistakes, and see, this is probably going to surprise people, probably the worst thing that can happen to you is you have an ad that does okay. Okay?
Yeah.
The reason is you're going to keep running and keep trying to get it. I like it much better if I have an ad that does horrible or an ad that does really well, because if it does horrible, I know I need to try a whole different concept.
Yeah.
Okay? I need to try something just completely different than what I did right there. Or if something does well, of course, then I'm going to keep moving forward and keep optimizing it.
That's a great tip, though. If it's only doing okay, you don't know which direction to go.
And that's where I end up rubbing my head against the wall, and it might not be quite good enough at that point.
Awesome. Well, I'm an avid reader. I'm an author as well, but do you have any favorite books?
One of my favorite books is actually one that's kind of hard to get, and that's Breakthrough Advertising.
Oh, yeah, that's an expensive one.
Yeah, it's like $99 when you can get it.
I think it was more than that. I saw it for sale for like $300 the other day.
Well, if they actually are selling it, it should be like $99.
Yeah.
That's about the best price you could get for it. The reason I listed it as one of the best is because I've read it multiple times. I've read it at least five times through the book. And that's basically direct response training, some of the it's older style. And the funny thing here is we're in a new day, we're at online marketing, but there's so many things I take out of that book. And how long ago was that book written? 40 years ago, 30 years ago? And there's so much stuff I take out of it and still use today, especially like his concepts of marketing and how markets change and how even the headlines you use change based on where the market is.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell people it doesn't matter. I've been doing this 15 years. The mediums change, but nothing else changes. It's still the basic concept.
It is. Well, that even shows the example. I've been doing, email sequences for almost two decades. Now I'm doing, video sequences in Facebook.
Yeah.
Same concepts.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are your predictions for digital marketing in 2017? What's going to happen?
What's going to happen? Our prices are going to go up. They really do. That's our first one. I think marketers are going to continue to get smarter. They're going to do a lot more of the retargeting. And we'll see basically moving across all the different media. Now, this is my beginnings come from direct response.
Yeah,
okay.
So do mine.
When I first went online, I studied a lot of J. Abraham, Gary Halbert stuff. Other copywriters that I studied a lot in the beginning, so I'm very direct response. I find myself, while I still track and test everything in direct response, I'm having more respect for branding.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time online, it's beginning to be more and more respect for branding as a small business. And I see that across my different clients. Like, for example, I have clients in all different fields, auto dealers, restaurants, and especially like those local business clients, the absolute best things we do are getting reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the absolute best things we do in those businesses. And the reason is those reviews give us power in every other piece of marketing that we're doing. It's part of the overwhelming proof.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, so we're integrating as much as we can those reviews, those relationships, cross-selling different sites. So as I said, we're doing a follow-up sequence we might be running on Facebook. We'll run a broadcast sequence like we just did this recently. We're running a special for one of my client's products, and he's running it to his email list. At the same time, we're running, a sequence. We have a very specific retargeting sequence running on Facebook. We're running some retargeting through Google Display Network at the same time for them. And it's all like one big campaign running across all these different networks that we're doing. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that. So it's not just seeing each piece separately. We're going to see the connection of everything together and how it all fits together with our overall brand, the overall relationship we've built with customers.
Nice. So my last final question for you, I guess, is if you had one tip for people with their marketing, what would it be?
The biggest tip I could give you for your marketing is to really focus on this sounds kind of funny because it goes back to the simplicity, but focus on buying customers. You know, you need in a business, again, I work with so many of my clients are the smaller ones, they don't have a lot of venture capital behind them for the investing and to go negative for a long time.
Yeah.
They need to make a profit, or they need to at least break even on the advertising. And the big tip I would have for this is you need an irresistible offer on the front end. You need one really good offer that we can run advertising to, and I call it buying customers, because my goal is, can we run campaigns heavily that we can break even on? Mm-hmm. That's my whole goal for any type of advertising is, can I get to break even, or at least really close to break even? I have a couple of clients that we run them. They're super happy if we can get to like 70-80% break even on some of the big campaigns, because we know we're going to keep selling to this customer. You're going to keep selling more to this customer, and have that attitude. What is the most irresistible offer I can put on my front end to attract customers, to bring customers through the door, and knowing I'm not even trying to make a profit here. I'm just trying to break even at best, because I know I have everything else that they're going to buy in the future because of the relationship I build with them.
Yeah, so just really knowing your lifetime value of a customer, and you know, having that irresistible, I guess I call it the loss leader, mm-hmm. But something very similar in nature. But that's some great tips. So I appreciate it, Terry. That's all the questions I got for you today. I really, really appreciate you being on the show and sharing some amazing information with our listeners. So how can folks connect with you?
The easiest way is to go over to mymarketingcoach.com. And as you would expect as an email marketing specialist, I have a free gift over there that's the free email conversion kit that's going to give you 7 strategies. It's going to give you it's basically 7 stories and show you how to use 7 different stories in your emails. And along with that, there's like a cheat sheet, 64 story shortcuts, where I ask you 64 questions to help you come up with other story ideas for your emails. You can pick that up for free at mymarketingcoach.com.
Well, that's awesome. Again, thank you to Terry Dean, our guest. That's all we got for today. Be sure to check him out at mymarketingcoach.com. Take advantage of his special free gift and learn something. If you already haven't, I've already got a page of notes here alone. But if you'd be sure to like, share, subscribe, we would greatly appreciate it. Check out our other episodes over on iTunes. And that's all we got for today. We'll see you on another episode. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to the CMO Roundtable. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate us, subscribe, and give us a share. For more information about how you can accelerate your marketing results and to request your in-depth conversion analysis, visit conversionfanatics.com.